In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
My sisters, this is now the third Sunday of Pascha, celebration of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. And the church gives us as commemorations the memory of the noble Joseph, the righteous Nicodemus, and the myrrh-bearing women. These are those disciples of Christ who took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb, and then came to anoint him with those sweet-smelling spices, as was the custom. Joseph of Arimathea, we know, was, according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, a rich man who was a disciple of Jesus. According to Mark, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God. According to Luke, he was a member of this council, but had not consented to their unlawful decision and action against Christ to put him to death. And according to St. John, he was the one who went boldly to Pilate, asking for the body of the Lord Jesus, took him down, and with Nicodemus, who bought spices, placed him in a tomb. The myrrh-bearing women, we know from the scriptures and from the tradition, to be Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of God, Joanna, Salome, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, Susanna, Mary, and Martha of Bethany, who were the sisters of Lazarus. And these are the women who also ministered to Christ during his three-year earthly ministry. So Joseph, Nicodemus, and the myrrh-bearing women are commemorated today as those disciples of Christ who came and ministered to him in this great time of need, this time when Christ was dead, laid in the tomb. They came and they performed what was necessary according to the law. And they did this out of love for him. We'll speak more about that in a moment. The tomb of Christ. It was that rock that was hewn out, forming something of a cave that the noble Joseph had prepared for his own burial. He had a home nearby the city of Jerusalem, and it was a garden, and inside was this tomb that he had prepared for himself. This was his offering to Christ, the one whom he loved. And this tomb was the place that was visited by those women. It was the place that was visited by all of the early Christians who came to see the place where Christ rose from the dead from. It lived in the memory of the Christians. They knew where it was. They had marked the tomb of Christ as the place where everything changed in their own lives and in the history of the world. Because this Messiah had shown himself victor over sin, death, and the devil, and he had come to proclaim life and resurrection, the good news of the gospel to the whole world. And it started from that tomb. They knew the place so well. They loved to go and visit there. The tomb was etched in their memory. Of course, we know, as history would unfold, in 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem was leveled to the ground. The only thing left was one of the walls of the city, what is called the Wailing Wall to this day. The Romans leveled it because of the revolt of the Israelites. And no one can have a revolution against Rome and get away with it. So they leveled the city. And in the year 130, a Roman colony was established there. In 5 years' time, they built a pagan temple over the place where the tomb of Christ was. Now, this pagan temple needed a strong foundation. So they took this cave, this tomb of Christ, and they filled it in to fortify it and strengthen it so they could build this temple. And this was, of course, to the horror of Christians who had seen their great holy place, the place of the rebirth of the whole world, serve as the foundation for this pagan temple. And they mourned and they wept. But later, when the Roman Empire would be converted to Christ, the Empress Helena came to the city, and she was commissioned to use all of the funds necessary in the imperial treasury to establish churches in the Holy Land, those places where the feet of Christ had walked, where the miracles had been performed, where he had been crucified on the cross, offering himself for the life of the world, where he had risen from the dead out of that tomb. And she identified these locations. She had that pagan temple razed, destroyed, demolished. She excavated the area where the Christian said, "This is where you will find the tomb." And by the order of Emperor Constantine, her son, a new glorious temple was built. This temple was called the Church of the Holy Sepulcher. Sepulcher is just another name for tomb. Church of the Holy Tomb. And it's at this location that the Church of the Holy Sepulcher resides to this day. If you were to visit Jerusalem and you were to go see the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, you will see the church built at that exact same spot. It was not the original church that had been destroyed by fire. Others had been damaged by earthquake. You had Islamic conquest that came. But that same location was remembered by the Christians, and the church that stands there today stands over the tomb of Christ. If you visit that church, you can go and you could enter into the tomb of Christ. As you enter, you'll enter into a small little chapel on the way, and that chapel is dedicated to the angel. And there inside of that chapel, there's something very small, like what we have with the icon here in the center of the church, a small little stone. And it was that stone that was rolled away from the tomb. But why is it so small? I thought it was very large. It was difficult to roll away. Well, Christians from every generation came on pilgrimage to that place, to that tomb, and they chipped away a little bit of that stone so they could bring it home. You would do the same thing too if you had traveled the great distance that they had. Now you can't, it's sealed with glass. But this was a place of pilgrimage to the Church of the Holy Sepulcher, where everything in the world began to change. Now that church became the model for all other churches throughout the world. Even our church here today is modeled after the Church of the Holy Sepulcher. In it we have a place that we call Golgotha. We also have the tomb of Christ. Right here, the altar table. And this church is the place where we come on pilgrimage, where we come to be renewed, where we come to experience and witness the same thing that the early disciples witnessed, the power of Christ over sin, death, and the devil. Today we have the joy of welcoming the Howard family as catechumens into this historic church, where Christians have come from every generation, every day and age, and every place. And they've come here for Christ. The same one that we come here for. Same one that those early disciples went to the tomb for. You know, in the catechumenate, there's much teaching that takes place. There's much learning, education. There's an opening of the mind to the understanding of the scriptures. That same thing that the Lord did for Luke and Cleopas, when he had risen from the dead and he traveled with them on the road to Emmaus, he explained to them everything that pertained to himself in the scriptures, how it was necessary for him to die and to rise, and that in his name, forgiveness and remission of sins would be preached to all of the world. This happens during the catechumenate. The eyes of the mind are open to understanding by Christ himself. And during the catechumenate, just like for Luke and Cleopas, our hearts burn within us because Christ is enlightening us, setting us on fire with his truth. Of course, as Luke and Cleopas continue with Christ, we know that he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Right? He stayed with them and he broke the bread as he had done at the mystical supper, and they knew that it was the Lord. This will happen also for our catechumens as they are received into the church, becoming part of the body by reception of his body, by receiving the body and blood of Christ, by being united to him. We welcome the Howard family to this place and to this community who are bound to Christ in love and truth. Love and truth is why the disciples followed the Lord, because they knew him to be love and they knew him to be truth. And that was ultimately what they desired, love and truth. You know, when the noble Joseph, Nicodemus, and the murmuring women ministered to Christ, they, as we have said, ministered to him in his time of need, a time where he couldn't do anything, so they thought, for them. When someone dies and you show your love and your care for them, what can they do back to you? Nothing. When someone is alive, yes, we show our love and our care for people, and we expect the same in return. But when they're dead, nothing. And they came with no expectations. They came just in this love. St. Nikolai Vilimirovich has a beautiful sermon for this day, and I'll share with you one quotation from it. He says, when a living man buries a dead one, he buries part of himself with the dead man and returns home carrying a part of the dead man in his soul. This is especially clear, terribly clear, when a kinsman buries a kinsman and a friend a friend. A mother, after the funeral, goes to the graves of her children. Who goes there? The children in the mother's soul, with the mother, go to the grave. In a mother's soul, the mother lives only in one little corner. All the rest is a palace for the souls of the children taken from her. A mother's love saves her children from disappearance and annihilation in this world, at least for a time. On this Mother's Day, what a great illustration of love. The love that mothers have for their children, a love that even overcomes death, keeping that love eternal within them. And of course, this was the love that the disciples had for Christ. That's why they came. They wanted to keep his memory alive, his teaching alive. They wanted to preserve as much as they could of what they knew of him. They came to anoint his holy body, to preserve it from corruption, for at least a time. And sometimes I think, brothers and sisters, we mistakenly think we come to the church to do the same thing, that Christians in our day and age are here simply to preserve the memory of Christ, his beautiful teachings, his way of life. That we come here just to keep alive, in a sense, the memory of a dead man from long ago. Brothers and sisters, how wrong we are if we think that. How wrong the murmuring women were when they thought that. Because when they came to the tomb, Christ was not there. He wasn't there because he had risen. He is the resurrection and the life. And when they came to the tomb, they didn't find him. Why? Because he was about greater works. Greater works of love. And what were the greater works of love that he was about? As they went to the tomb out of love for him, he went to the tomb out of love for all of the dead. He went to Hades to find every soul that he carried within himself in his love for them as God. A love stronger than a mother's love for her own child. He came to resurrect all of those who were dead, not just keep them alive in memory, to raise them from their tombs. That day when they went to the tomb, Christ was not there because he was raising the dead. Now, sisters, when we come to the church here, do we come anticipating hearing about a dead man's teaching, dead man's way of life? Or do we come to the tomb of Christ to experience resurrection, to realize that Christ is actually here, and he is actually raising the dead from their tombs, and we are the dead. They didn't see Christ that day because he was raising the dead from Hades. We don't see Christ with our visible eyes because he is within us, raising us from the tomb of sin, spiritual death. He is at work within us, granting us resurrection. The church is the place and community where we come to meet the risen Christ. It's the place in the community where we love him and are loved by him. It's the place in the community where we die and rise with him. It's the place in the community where Christians from every generation enter into the resurrection of Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, on behalf of the human race, gave his own tomb to Christ so that he would have somewhere to be laid in death. Christ, God, gives to each and every one of us his own tomb here, right here, so that he can come and raise us from the dead and give us life and immortality. This is the great mystery of what happens in the church. This is why we are here today. This is what we welcome the Howard family into. An experience of Christ risen from the dead. On that day and every day, including today, Christ is risen.
Indeed.